League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to another Kings of Anglia podcast special, and today I'm joined by a very special guest indeed. It's former Town defender, midfielder, Mr. Versatile himself, Jonathan Parr. It's a pleasure to be joined by you, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, and thank you for having me. I've been back in Norway now for a few years, so it was great that you got in touch, and it would be nice to talk about my time at Ipswich.
Definitely, my friend. Yeah, you say you're in Norway. Whereabouts are you based?
In Oslo, so the capital. Living here with my wife and three kids. A hectic life with three small kids and also a new career after I stopped playing football.
Definitely, yeah. Of course, that's where you're born and bred, is Oslo, where you're born?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's good. And I always start these conversations, Jonathan, about, you know, your early days in football and early days in life. You know, what was it like growing up in Norway? And, you know, football, obviously, is one of the sort of main sports, but obviously there's a lot of different sports in Norway. But, how did that sort of come about?
Yeah, football is definitely one of the big ones. And we grew up watching English football, which is very popular in Norway. So it was always a dream of mine to play in England. Growing up, I started playing football with my friends, got a bit more serious when you get older, more trainings, got better, saw that there was a potential to do something here, and then kept on pushing. So I think one of the reasons I ended up as a football player was because I trained a lot and worked hard, which is true for most football players, even though we have some that just would have made it no matter what they did. But a lot of hard work and determination to get to a high level. Started playing in the Norwegian top league when I was 17, played there for 4.5 years before I moved to Palace. Then I just had my international debut with Norway, went over there when they were in the championship. And then got promoted and got a season in the Premier League as well before I moved to Ipswich, and had the 1.5 good seasons there as well, with almost a promotion, good times. So I moved back to Norway, played for a team called Strømsgodset, which is located only 30 minutes from Oslo, for 5 seasons before I retired. So it was short recap of my career.
Mm. Yeah, and you said, you know, breaking through in Norway, I'm sure that was a dream come true. I read somewhere, youth football, winger, striker in your early days?
Yeah, definitely. I was playing mostly as a striker until I was 16, 17. Then I started playing a bit as a winger. My first couple of seasons at in Norwegian football was as a striker winger, and then gradually I started playing like a more normal wing, and then a couple of games as fullback, and then started switching a bit forth and back. And ended up, playing on the left side or the right side, on the wing or as a fullback. Versatile.
Yeah, very versatile. And we'll talk about that during your time at Town shortly. But I saw, you know, 2 Norwegian Cups as well. So, getting some trophies in your collection. I'm sure that must have been an honour as well to win some trophies.
Oh, definitely. The Cup is big in Norway. So the first one was when I was 21, and my team then, Ålesund, was a quite small team, who were facing Molde, which is a more well-known club, with Solskjaer was there for as a manager for some time, and so we played them and got a red card, and it was the game went to extra time and finally to penalties, and the final winning penalty was in off the post, so it was a game that had had everything. So yeah, that was a great memory to look back at. The other cup, actually, I only played the first couple of rounds because it was the year that I moved to Palace. So I was there for the final as well, but just as a spectator. But yeah, I got the medal.
Yeah, you deserve it. You did the early rounds. I think every player who plays in the early rounds, they definitely, even if you don't play in the final, it's still, you know, you were part of that. So that's great. And as you mentioned, you know, a lot of players, I'm sure in Norway as well, you know, the goal is to maybe go to another European team or come to England. Obviously, that was your target, and you were able to do that with Palace. How did that come about?
As I played some seasons for Ålesund, I started to, you know, make my name in Norway, having some good performances. We had some Europa League qualifications with Ålesund. We won the cup, and we had some, yeah, we did well. So it started to be a lot of interest from different clubs. And I was also ready to try something else. I was 21, and you know, had a big dream of going abroad to play football, preferably in England, but of course there are many other good opportunities as well. So when I had the chance to go to Crystal Palace, it was an easy decision. I also had Stefan Iversen, an old or another Norwegian who was there at the time. He was the one who called me at first and told me about the interest. So it felt quite safe to go there as well. When they came in, it was quite quick. I only had 6 months left of my contract with Ålesund at the time, so they were also interested in a sale to get some money. Go over there and see what happens. And it was a dream come true to go to England. As I said, when you grow up in Norway, it's football is important and very popular, and the English football is what we watch mostly, even though, you know, Spanish football has become a bit more popular in the last 10-15 years, but English football is what that's what we watch, and that's so it was really, really fun to go over and get a chance.
Did you have you had been to England before? Like, I was about to say for a holiday. I don't think many people come to England for a holiday because of the weather and stuff. But have you ever been in the country before?
Yes, I had. I had been to Old Trafford with my dad to watch a game. Growing up, Manchester United was my favorite team with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as a striker. So I had been to England a couple of times. But not on a sunny holiday, no.
No, definitely not. And obviously, at that point, you're actually a Norwegian international as well. I think you won maybe a few caps before joining Crystal Palace. I'm sure that must be an honour as well to play for your country.
Definitely, big honour. So I'm very happy and proud of all the games. It was 9 in the end. But I had Jonan Riise as a competitor on the left back in his prime. So it wasn't that easy to get too many chances. But it was very fun to be a part of that with Egil Drillo Olsen, Norwegian coach legend as manager as well. So that was a very, really good time, and you know, to get my debut at 21 years old, it was a big moment and something I look back at with pride or happiness.
Yeah. England players, they get caps. What do Norwegians get? You know, do you get anything in particular?
No, we don't have the same thing here, so it's not similar. But if you get to 25 games, you get a golden watch. But I didn't get that far though. Nothing like that. But it was a proud moment every time you could put a Norwegian jersey on.
Definitely. And you're now at Crystal Palace, as you said. And You know, was that a bit of a culture shock for you, or not really? You know, did you speak much English? I know a lot of, you know, definitely Scandinavian countries there, you sort of learn English, you know, from at school. But were you pretty good with your English then?
Yeah, I think, you know, most of us learn English at school, and so that part was okay. But it was quite a big difference from Norway. It's a different ball game. You come from Norway, where you play with your good friends and for your local team, or and then you go to England, another country, another culture. Even though the language is okay, which is important to communicate, it's a lot of differences. But I must say, I was almost said taken care of by the older players, you know, being very good to me and helping me getting into the team and into the squad. And it's a bit more competitive than in Norway, but then again, you know, we're used to competing, and I really enjoyed it. It was a great time, and very, very glad to have had the chance to play in England.
Yeah, and I'm going to straight away get some Ipswich connections on here, because obviously this is an Ipswich Town podcast. You had a few Town players, or former Town players, who were playing for Palace at the time. You had Owen Garvin, Darren Ambrose, Lewis Price, David Wright. Obviously, Darren Ambrose scored an absolute cracker against Man United, I remember. But yeah, those are good lads as well, weren't they?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And Darren was at Ipswich with me as well. Great player and a great person. So, that goal against Man United is probably the best goal I've witnessed live. And, you know, being at Old Trafford as well, it was something special.
Yeah. And obviously, that season, your first season, great season for you, player of the year. That must have been another opportunity going, well, I've proved that I can play in England and in the second tier of English football as well.
Oh, yeah, that was very, a great start. When I came, I'd already played half a season in Norway, because our season starts in January. So I'd played the half a season in Norway, went straight into the new season for Palace. So I think that year I played 80 games or something from January until May the year after. So it was a tough year. The last 10 games before the summer break was just getting through. It was a long season, but a really, really good and fun season. We had a great start with Palace doing well, and then the last half of the season we had some injuries, and we didn't have the biggest squad, so we ended up mid-table maybe, but we showed some potential and showed that we when we were at our best and had players available, we could compete for promotion. So it kind of laid the groundwork for the season after, where we got off to a really bad start with, I think we lost the first three or something, and then we just, after that, we just won every game until Christmas almost, putting ourselves in a great position for promotion. And even though we ended up with the playoffs, which is probably the best way to go up if you end up going up, it was a great season. And unluckily, I got injured the last it was against Ipswich as well. So I got injured and didn't have the chance to play the last part of the season, and also the first part of the Premier League season. But that's part of the game. It's never a good timing for an injury. So,
yeah. I was going to say your next connection to Town was that injury at Portland Road, and injuries. That was a long layoff as well, wasn't it, for you? Unfortunately, you were at the playoff final at Wembley, you know, celebrating your teammates. But I'm sure there was a moment where it was like, I wish I could have been playing this and stuff like that. But that was, a long layoff, wasn't it, unfortunately?
Yeah, it was. That was the most serious injury I had in my career. So I was out for, I think, almost 6 months in total until I was back. And it really took some time. And of course, at the time, you don't want to be injured, just got promoted to the Premier League. It was tough, but it's part of the game, and it's just working hard, trying to get back into the team, and also very, looking back at it, very happy and proud to manage to get into the team. I think we bought 20 new players or 25 new players getting promoted and you know, coming from the long injury break, it was difficult finding my way back into the team. But I got into the team, played in an important part of the season where we started winning some games and climbing the table. So it was a great experience as well. And all that work during that time of injury and just get paid back 10 times when you manage to get back into the team and playing in the Premier League, which has been a dream since I was a kid, was amazing. So strange feeling, and of course the start of the season was frustrating, but all in all, the 3 years at Palace was very good and amazing experience.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a dream come true to play in the Premier League. I think, Palace finished 11th for that season, so a very good, first season in a top flight. And as you say, you're playing against the big dogs of English football. What was that like playing against those big teams and, making a debut as well?
Amazing. It's players and clubs you've looked up to since you were a little kid, at least some of them that was a bit older than me. And to play against my favorite team from when I was a kid, playing at Old Trafford, winning at Old Trafford in the game Darren Ambrose scored. Getting to play at these different stadiums and great players and great atmospheres. So it was, amazing. And great memories to look back at.
Definitely. And then obviously you left Palace and ended that season. So a free agent. Were you always wanting to stay in England? Was it what other interest before Ipswich Town came about?
It was a bit of interest in the summer. So I had a good think what am I going to do next? And looking at different options. But when Ipswich came in, they had a quite good season the year before. They had ambitions of getting back into the Premier League, even though it took some more years than we expected at the time. it looked like an interesting opportunity. It went quite quick, actually, from when I first started talking with them until we finalized the deal. And
Can you remember that sort of first phone call with McCarthy? Obviously, he's an Irishman, he's a character. That phone call, I'm sure, is an interesting one.
Yeah, I actually do remember that one because I was on holiday in Italy with my wife and some friends, and we were having a barbecue, and my phone was ringing, and I didn't have the number saved, so I couldn't see who it was, but I answered, and it was like, it's Mick McCarthy calling. I was like, is this some prank or something, or is this real? But we had a good chat then, and I think we agreed to talk more the day after. And then things just got rolling from there. When I came back from holiday, I went up to meet him and talk with him. As I said, it was interesting opportunity, and we finalized things quite quick, and I was ready to go.
Definitely. And I've got a picture of you signing, and this is you holding the shirt up. There you are, Johnny. Can you remember that day? You've played at Portland Road before, obviously. I think the last time you were at Portland Road was that injury, unfortunately. But, can you remember this day?
Yeah, definitely. Great day as well. Ipswich is a big club. As I said, at the moment when I came in, they had a good season. The season before, they had ambitions. They had a good team, a good manager. I was really happy to be a part of that, and was really looking forward to the season. So that was a great day as well to be at Portman Road and hold the shirt up and take some photos and get all the signings done. So
definitely. And it didn't take you long though to make an impact. You scored in your third game against Brighton. I've got a picture of you celebrating with two familiar faces as well. Dave McGoldrick, Tyrone Mings, both went on to play in the Premier League themselves as well. But this was a nice little, you know, got the rebound, nice little tap in, got to take that. But a good win against Brighton at the time. I think a 2-0 win under the lights as well. But, you know, what a way to sort of make an impact straight off the bat.
Yeah, and I remember that one as well. And a great picture with two great players and persons. So, yeah, that was a great start. I came into a team that was a good team, a lot of good players, and a good team spirit with Luke Chambers setting the standards and you know, keeping the team together in a really good way. So great atmosphere within the team and real positive view of how the season was going to be. So we started off well and did really well the whole season. It was a tough competition. Tyrone was playing on the left back for some games, and we had, you know, a lot of good defenders with Luke Chambers playing on the right some games, and a lot of good players. So I played a bit different positions. I swapped a bit over left side, right side, some games at midfield, wherever I could contribute, which was fine. I was, you know, happy to play different positions and used to that. So it was really good, and it was a really fun season. You know, didn't go all the way, but it was close. And I think also there in the around Christmas we had some good games, won a few games in a row, and was up in the automatic promotion position for a while. Ended up not getting through the playoffs this time, but still a really good and fun season. And it was good.
Can I ask you about your relationship with Mick McCarthy? Because obviously he made sure to play you in any position he could find. What was that like? And yeah, Mick, obviously we mentioned him already, he's a big character, but you know, he brought in characters, and he played you everywhere pretty much.
No, we had a good relationship. It was, you know, Mick is, I've had a lot of different managers, and they all have their different styles and how they do things. And Mick was a quite traditional, old school manager, you know, determining a lot of effort and, you know, wanting to see that from his players. And I think on that part, I checked the box, and, you know, I gave everything every game I had the chance to contribute. I was always in there to do what I could, if it was left back or right back or left midfield or right midfield. So I think that was good. And then, of course, we had Tyrone leaving in the summer. Yeah. Going... where did he go then? He went to
Bournemouth.
Yeah. So I was hoping to get the left back position, but then they got another left back in, which made it more difficult with Jonas coming in. Of course, that was a bit disappointing for me, seeing that I was hoping they were going to put me as a first choice left back that season. During the fall, the games I got was a bit more limited than the season before. In the end, it wasn't enough for me to stay there with the lack of playing time. And of course, every player thinks that, you know, I should play every game. but it was good. It was a good professional relationship. And even though, you know, sometimes you play, sometimes you don't, it's part of the game. Overall, looking back at my time at Ipswich, it's just good memories. As I said, in the squad, in the team, the atmosphere or the team spirit, or that's probably the best I've had anywhere. And I think, you know, a lot of that was thanks to Luke Chambers, who really is a great captain or a skip. So I had a really good time. Of course, would have wanted to play more. Especially the second season, or the half season, all in all, just really good time, and met a lot of nice people, great club, great atmosphere, and good memories.
So would you say you prefer to play left back then? Back then, is that, was that your, you know, position you really wanted to play more often?
Yeah, I think so. That was the one I played the most. Looking back at my career, it was my main position. And even though I, you know, if you would have put me right wing every game, yeah, okay. But on the bench, yeah, not so much. So yeah, I think you know, playing different positions wasn't really a problem, but lack of game time was more frustrating.
Definitely. And I want to bring up another picture of you scoring at Millwall, which is another great finish. Noel Hunt also scored two goals in this game. Got a nice little celebration here. There you are, I think, celebrating right in front of the town fans in this orange kit. Of course, we've always had good teams who have played in orange away kits. And yeah, this is another nice little finish from you. I think you must have been playing in midfield because you're so up the field.
Yeah, I remember that one. I think it was Freddie Sears, actually, who just flicked it on. I think in that game, I started on the bench and came in as a left midfielder, I think. Probably to... Because I think we were 1-0 up at the time. So I think the point was to come in and try to, you know, secure the win or to be a solid left midfielder doing the defensive work. But then almost the first thing that happened was flick in behind, got through and then placed it in the far corner. So yeah, didn't score that many goals, but yeah, always fun to score. So then you have to celebrate.
Yeah, of course you have to. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, we got into the playoffs, you know, we were, you know, sort of go under the radar a little bit. We actually, I think when we beat Brentford away, we won 4-2, we actually went top of the table for a brief moment. And then I think I forgot which team went top the next day or whatever. But that must have been a great moment to like think, okay, I could be on my way here to get an hour promotion under my belt. Unfortunately, it just fell a little bit. And I think the final day against Blackburn, we had to hope other teams sort of drop points and we'd get into the playoffs. And then what was it like as a player knowing you're going to have to play a rival in the playoffs in Norwich?
No, it was the same with Crystal Palace. We met, we played Brighton, which was the arch enemies back then. So I had that experience from the first time. But as you said, our season was maybe the peak of our performance and how we played was during Christmas or end of the year, early year. And then we were struggling a bit in the spring. So when the playoffs came, we weren't really at our best, maybe. And it was difficult getting through the semifinals. But then again, it's, you know, the atmosphere, everything around and getting into the playoffs and the optimism that was around the team was really good. And, you know, after you get disappointment away from not getting promoted, you look forward to the next season for another chance and you know that you could be back in it and fight for promotion again. So,
a lot of people say, you know, that January... Maybe if Mick McCarthy, you know, maybe signed some more players. But as you said, the team was so together that, you know, the camaraderie, you know, everything like that. I think sometimes if you bring too many players in, it can sort of ruin that. Would you say that stuff, and you know, you think would have maybe ruined it if you did bring in, obviously, Freddie signed, there was a few other loan players. But I think if you maybe signed two, say, big dogs, and they may have, you know, ruined that, you know, camaraderie maybe.
Oh, maybe it's always when you look back and it's always easy to think that, oh, this would have been better, but you never know how that would have affected other things. So it's difficult to say, but I think we were in a good position. We had a good team. The depth in the squad was okay. Looking back, okay, maybe we should have signed one more player, but it's. Yeah, you never know how that would have changed things. So I think, you know, it was just one of those seasons. It was not quite enough, but almost.
Yeah. And overall, though, a good, you know, first season for you. Who would you say we were closest to in the squad? Like you said, it was a very tight-knit squad, but who would you say out of all the players you were closest to?
That's a bit difficult, to be honest. It was truly a really good team, a good squad. So with so many nice professional good players. I've mentioned Luke a couple of times. He was and is a great guy. What he did for all the new players and for the team as a whole was exceptional. So he was at least a very important person to keep that team together and to make us have that good spirit and all that. So I'll give him some more praise. And then other than that, it was a lot of people that was really nice and that we got to know, and good times.
Definitely. Yeah, obviously you mentioned Darren, of course, comes. Johnny Williams also joins as well. So we had a few good loan spells with us. Had a few injuries, unfortunately, but that must have been another familiar face.
Yeah, definitely. Johnny is great as well. And I spoke with him a lot of times before he ended up, because he had been there on loan before I went there, and it was talks that he was coming back. So I was calling him, come on, you should come over. He's also a really good guy and a great footballer and a great person. So it was great to have him there on loan. And as you said, some injuries that have made it difficult, but a really good player, and he's had a great career, and it's good to see.
Yeah, top lad. And then your second season, unfortunately, in pre-season, you got injured, which is not an ideal time when a new left-back come in, definitely when Tyrone just been sold at Bournemouth for a lot of money. That must have been like a frustrating moment where you're like, oh, maybe that more opportunity gone potentially.
Oh, definitely. As I said, I was really looking forward to playing more regularly as a left-back. I had done well, the chances I got the first season in many positions, but maybe specifically in the left back. So yeah, I was looking forward to that. And again, injuries never come at a good time, but Jonas came in, did well, and kind of took the position. With the lack of playing time during the fall and winter, when I was back fit and wanted to play, was a bit difficult, but that's part of the game.
Yeah, and you did come back though and played a few games. One game was at Old Trafford, in the cup. Got a picture of you in action with Valencia, who of course what a player he was. But Mick played, you'd sort of say, a reserve team. Obviously, a lot of players who I think like Luke Chambers wasn't able to play in this game, because I think Mick went, these are players who got me through to this round of the competition. This was a very mixed bag squad. But that must have been a moment to play at Old Trafford again. And, we did okay, actually, against them. Wayne Rooney was starting. They played a strong team in that match.
Yeah. No, it was, as you said, we played a quite different team that we usually did. And for me, another great opportunity to play at Old Trafford, which has been, Man United was my favourite club and all that. So I really enjoyed it. And even though we didn't manage to win, it was, as you said, it was a okay game. We didn't just fall on our faces. We did okay. And I think for a lot of the players playing that game, it was a big moment. So that was a good memory.
Yeah, it was. I know it was a packed away, and I know a lot of Town fans enjoy that. And obviously, Town fans will be going to Old Trafford next season. I'm sure they're looking forward to it. Then I want to talk about Johnny, on your goal against Nottingham Forest. We won't talk about what happened at the end of that game, because they scored a late equaliser, which was a former Town player, Liam Trotter. But your goal, what's a volley? For you just to turn and swing. Got a nice picture of you celebrating. Jonathan Douglas jumping on you as well. That goal. I watched the back just before I came on. I went, oh, just how you swung your foot at it and just, oh, what a finish, my friend. Take you back to it.
Yeah, as we spoke about earlier, I haven't scored that many goals during my career. All of them are precious to me. but this one, I agree, it was a nice one. Because I was, if I remember correctly, I was kind of positioned the wrong way and then had to turn around and finish quite quick and managed to place it up in the far corner. So very, very happy with that one. And another fun game to play, even though, as you said, in the end there we managed to let the goal in and ended up as a draw. Or did we
it's a draw, yeah. because I think you scored late on as well. Your goal was a bit late, and then they just, it was like 94th minute or something like that. And you're like, it happened a lot at Forest, I swear. You know, every time we played them, it was like a late goal. But yeah, no, got no pitch from that day as well. Just you there, arms out in the air. I think that's your go-to celebration when you score, it seems.
It might be. It's so rare that I don't really remember from time to time, but it might be some reflex that arms out. That's a good celebration.
Definitely. And I think after that, I think only one more start and then not really involved. You know, how were you feeling at that point? You know, like any player, you don't really want to be on the bench and you want to be playing. Were you just frustrated at that point? And yeah, it's just someone was in that your position, you weren't able to get him out of it.
Yeah, no. You always want to play. I think if you ask every football player, no one says like, "I would like to be on the bench, please." So of course I wanted to play, and in that time of my career as well, you know, you feel you should be playing every game, getting maximum out of your potential. So yeah, in a combination with you know, my wife was pregnant at the time as well, so we were thinking about moving back home. Closer to family and you know, all of that, and you know, not playing so much. I had 6 months left on my contract with an option of one more year, but as things were looking, I was, you know, that wasn't very tempting. So you know, a combination of lack of playing and probably wanting to change clubs anyway, and you know, my wife being pregnant and we thinking about moving home, it just ended up being an okay solution to move back to Norway with a manager I knew well from before, from when I was young, and a team that was, you know, one of the better teams in Norway. So yeah, it ended up like that. Looking back, you know, it would have been better if it ended in a different way. But still, as mentioned earlier, looking back, it's all good memories. And as a total, it's a great time. So,
And of course, you know, I don't think Mick wanted you to go, but you know, you had your mind set, you weren't playing. So I'm sure like Mick would let any player go. But what was that conversation like? I'm sure it was a difficult one where he, like, you know, he's losing a player here, but you know, you wanna move on.
Yeah. No, I think he definitely wanted me to stay, but at the same time he didn't want to play me, if you know what I mean. He wanted me because I was versatile and a solid player for him that could step in if it was needed. And for me at the time, that wasn't enough. We had a chat and we spoke through things, and I explained my side of it, and you know, with my wife being pregnant and lack of playing time and short amount of time left on my contract and different things. And we managed to find a solution. So it was okay.
That's good. And I always like to ask this. I don't know if you did move to Suffolk or not. I know you're only, you know, from Crystal Palace, so you may have stayed in London. You can travel up. But did you move up to Suffolk, or did you stay where you were?
No, we moved up. So we rented a house. I don't remember the name of the road now. It was only 5-10 minutes from the training ground. We had a really good time, me and my wife, and we had, you know, friends coming over from Norway visiting, family coming over, celebrating Christmas and New Year's in Ipswich, and so we have some very good memories from Ipswich.
And I think you're actually the second Norwegian to play for the club. Vimir Brokkeskard played for the club as well. I don't know if you know that player.
No, I actually don't. When was that? Was that
2006? I think 2006 he played for us. So, second, your second Norwegian to play for the club. So I've had a bit of a Norwegian connection before. Then obviously, as you mentioned, you go back to Norway. You know, you've got your first kid as well. I'm sure that's another moment in your life. Football, but then now you've become a dad.
Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah, of course, a really big moment, and two more kids after that. So now we have three kids at 8, 5, and 2 years old. We have enough to do with all of that. So it's been really good being back as well, playing football, doing that. Got my master degree finished as well at the same time. So before I retired, I had my had that in place to be able to start into something new. So it ended up being a good solution.
Yeah, it's sort of a perfect sort of career, you know, start in Norway, come to England, have some good highs, some lows, then go back to Norway and play, 100 plus games, and then, retire when you did. You, of course, plan regularly, so I'm sure that was a good moment. But did you just know it was the right time to retire? I think you retired back in 2022. Do you feel that was just the right time?
It felt like the right time. As I said, I finished my master's degree in economics in the summer of 21. So in the fall, I started looking for some almost a part-time job or trying to look into what can I do next to try and get involved somewhere. It was very almost said accidental. What's the right word? It wasn't on purpose, but just ended up somewhere and ended up in a company called Rebil, which is similar to Cazoo in England. So at the time I got in contact with them. It was only two people working there, but they had the same kind of idea that Cazoo, or to sell and buy cars in the same way Cazoo does in the UK. Working there for a little bit, and then I had one more year left of my contract with Strømsgodset. But I decided to stop. That it was enough. I had some troubles with my knee, and also with this opportunity coming up, it was it felt that as the right time to do something new. So I joined there as a co-founder, been there for 2.5 years now. We're not as big as Cazoo yet, but we're getting there. So we went from 2 to 35 employees, one of the larger used car dealers in Norway at the moment. So it's been a fun journey as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. And a whole new career. And obviously, you're back in your mind when you're playing, you hope you can play as long as you can. But did you always know you wanted to, obviously, did you ever feel like you were going to go away from football, when you did retire?
I think I've always had, interests outside of football. Almost my whole playing career, I did some type of education next to it. When I was in Ipswich as well, I was working on my bachelor's degree. It was, a bit slower than the normal run because it was difficult to do the exams and stuff like that. But all the time I had something going on, and I had some other interests. So it wasn't like I had to get away from football, but it was that there was a lot of things that were interesting, and it wasn't determined that football was what I was going to do for the rest of my life. So after playing, I must say it's been a bit strange to go into something completely different, but also very fun, and a lot of learning. Very interesting. So I've not regretted that for a moment, and very happy with that choice. And working with a startup, it's a lot of similarities to sport as well, because it's very, you get so direct feedback of what works, doesn't work, and the results you get. So that's good.
Definitely. And I saw last year, came out of nowhere, you made a surprise little return to football, playing, maybe more amateur football. But did you feel like you just wanted to play a bit of football and have a run about with some mates, I'm sure?
Yeah, almost. It was some colleagues here at Rebil who had a team in actually the 9th or 10th division in Norway, which is the lowest division that is. Yeah. And they were saying, oh, come on, you should join us in this team. And I wasn't playing much of football at the time, so I was like, yeah, of course, I'll sign. And they made a little thing out of it, and I actually ended up not playing a single game, because I said earlier that I'm not going to be involved every game. I'll come to a couple of games, and it'll be fun. But then I think it was three games over the summer where I said I was going to be involved, and all three games was cancelled because the other team didn't have enough players. So I never managed to get my debut in Norwegian ninth division. But I might get another opportunity, maybe.
You never know. And obviously Norwegian football is booming because of some big names, you know, Haaland, Odegaard. Unfortunately, though, not at the Euros, though, Norway, unfortunately, again, which is... It's frustrating when you've got two superstars, you know, and not going to be playing on, you know, in a big tournament like that.
Yeah, I think every Norwegian is a bit frustrated because of that, because we have a quite good team at the moment. You know, as you say, we have those two stars that are amazing. It's, you know, for Norway to have two players like that, it's unbelievable. And then the rest of the team is quite good as well. But it just, you know, it's... just been lacking that last bit to manage to get through. It's been, I think 2000 was the last time Norway qualified for the Euros or the World Cup. It's about time that it happens again. So hopefully in not too long, we'll be back there and can watch the Euros with a bit more enthusiasm and to have your own team or your own country to support. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be fun anyway, though, to watch. But yeah,
it's of course hosted in Germany, and yeah, it's going to be a great, you know, actually as we of this recording, that it's going to be starting tonight. So we'll find out Germany versus Scotland and stuff like that. England, obviously, you know, could be favourites as well, but we won't talk about that because you just
we'll just see how it goes.
Okay, just take game by game, and we'll see. Yeah. But we'll find out. But yeah. Do you watch much football? Do you try to sort of see how your team's doing? Obviously, Ipswich Town did very well. And they've been taking on Crystal Palace now as well in the Premier League.
Yeah, no, it's. I try to watch. I don't have the time to watch a lot of games anymore at this time, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of family time. So not too much time to watch football. But of course, I try to keep updated on my teams, my old teams, which I always hope do well. And to see Ipswich go straight through the championship and up was amazing. Did not expect that, but you know, looking at the season, it was like, okay, they started well, doing well, and then okay, this might actually work, and then okay, they actually did it. So really looking forward to see how well they can do back in the Premier League. And of course, it's always tough to go up, but then again, you also see a lot of teams coming up with a solid foundation, way to play, and who do well. So great that the manager decided to stay. You know, from the rumors, there were some possibilities that he was going, but I think that is important as well, to keep that momentum going from the team that has been now. So really looking forward to that and see them back in the Premier League. That was great.
You're going to have the Johnny Parr derby, Palace versus Ipswich.
I think I might have to come over for that one to have a look. So it's been, I was at Portman Road. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago now. I went over, we were there with my old team at like after the season, going for a trip. We went to London, and then me and one of my mates took the train up to Ipswich and watched the game, which was really nice. But I haven't been since then, so it might be a good time to get back and to see some old friends and watch a game.
Definitely, you're always welcome, my friend. You got a final message for the Town fans listening? I said there's a lot of people been asking me, oh, come on, can you speak to Jonathan Parr? And I've delivered, and you're here, and so a message to them.
No, that's very nice to hear. As I said, I had a great time there, and I know that it's a lot of Norwegian Ipswich supporters as well that go over every year and watch games, and I met them when I was there, and I assume they do the same, and probably even more this season when you get into the Premier League. So just to keep supporting the team, you know, have a great season, enjoy it, and hopefully it will be a good season. When the Crystal Palace got promoted, we never went back down, I almost said, since we got promoted. So I hope it's the same with Ipswich. Now we're back where we belong, and then just stay there.
Yeah, as you mentioned, they're Norwegian. We've got a lot of Norwegian fans. I don't know how it came about, really. Maybe a little bit because you maybe signed, but I think, you know, we've got that itch because of back then, you know, we won the UEFA Cup and FA Cup back in the day. But yeah, I know they host like tournaments, I think, in Norway, and they've actually got a pretty good team, apparently.
No, there's a lot of supporters in Norway, so that's really good. And as I said, I think many of them are really looking forward to this season back in the Premier League, and a lot of games against, you know, top sides. And yeah, you'll probably have a lot of them over this year.
Definitely, my friend. Well, Jonathan, it's been a pleasure. Any other business? Anything else you want to mention before we wrap up?
No, I think I'm good. It was really nice to speak with you. You know, we've been speaking for a while to get in touch, and it's been some hectic weeks and months, but I'm glad we managed to get it in. And great speaking with you, and also nice to think back at some memories from my days at Ipswich and Palace, and all the best for the season.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.